Thank you, Ms. Williamson. Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. We've been there for a while. We've been able to get back to the Bible study and not having to move around and having visitors and things here. And it's good to see the visitors. It's good to see you, preacher, back there. Amen. Amen. And Hebrews chapter 11, if you would, and verse 29. We've been going through the chapter. We've been going through the book. And again, this book is it's going to be encompassed by Jesus is better. The chapter we are currently in is a chapter of faith and focused on by faith, things get done. Amen. And we believe in God. It was one of those, it was a work of faith through Restore-a-thon, and we may claim it and talk about it much, but God showed himself real to us. And for all of us, sometimes we, you know, he's going to refer to in the verse that we're going to read about the Red Sea, and God's people came to a place of, and it was impossible. They didn't see how they were going to go through. They followed God's direction into a place that corralled them and a place they couldn't go forward necessarily, not without God's divine interaction in their life and moving in front of them for them to go forward. And the God who had led them there, and again, we'll go read the passage tonight. That's some of what's taken us so long in chapter 11. It's referring to so many other things in the Bible. But the angel of the Lord led them through to the place that they stood. And then when they got to the place and nothing else could happen as far as going through the Red Sea, the angel of the Lord became a refuge or a protector or a shield for them against the Egyptians while God opened up a way for them. Moses, and again, sometimes as men of God, we come to that place, they were backbiting and talking about him and things going on and saying, hey, why don't we just stay in Egypt? We could have died there. You know, they could have worked us to death there. Here, they're going to kill us in the wilderness. And he tells them to stand still and watch the salvation of God. Then he goes to God and starts crying out. And God says, what are you crying to me for? Tell them to go forward. Faith moves us forward always in our life. It's not a faith to stand still. It's always a direction. God always has some. Sometimes God says, wait, but it's still moving forward by faith because I'm waiting in the place God pointed me in. Even them coming to this place, the waiting period was for the angel, the God who was leading forward becomes the God of protection while you're going through that tribulation, and then he opens a way for you to go forward. I want you to read the scripture with me in verse 29 tonight. This same passage of scripture is going to follow up with what Moses has already done in the previous verses. We won't take time to go back because it'll take time. Verse 29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which, again, in the scripture, the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Again, it says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. I want you to stop there for a moment. I want you to come back and go with me to, if you would, to the book of Exodus in chapter 14. It is Bible study night, so it'd be good if we studied our Bibles. Amen. So turn with me to Exodus chapter 14 and look at it with me. It's a familiar passage of Scripture, and there is much to read here. We're going to try to power through some of it. But some of the things that I alluded to are right here found in the Scripture. And Moses has gone through a lot of things. You would think the people of God would realize that their God was big enough to open up a way where there was no way. He had rained fire down. He had killed the firstborn. He had filled the place with frogs. He had turned the Nile River into blood. He had done so many things that had been, shown them. And even to show Pharaoh to put them out of the nation and let them go out into the wilderness. And their whole purpose, this is one of the things we miss. Our purpose ought to be to grow closer to God and to worship him. He went into Egypt to get God's people. Moses was sent there to take them from Egypt back to the mountain where he saw the burning bush to worship God there. We often miss the point that we are often by faith moving worship to worship. We're moving out of calamity and tribulation or a circumstance that holds us up for worshiping God the way he wants in the place he wants and in the way he wants. So we've got to move through those things, following God through his will to the place. And God will open the doors. God will take over a nation. He will drown an army to get you where he wants you to go. And you will be safe. And those that will try to stop you to do the will of God will be drowned by the things that they set forth to hurt you with. Now, I'm just going to tell you, say the Egyptians, then they had everything that there was to have according to the day. But when you're trying to fight against God, not only did God drown them, but God knocked the wheels of their chariot off so they couldn't escape. So the ones that had great horses and had a good chariot and might be able to run their way back to the edge before the water got them, God says, nope, I got you right where I want you. And then the wheels came off of everything. I'm just going to tell you, it's a great day for God's people. But you know, even this book tells us, you know, that they didn't laugh at the calamity of the Egyptians. We're not ever supposed to poke fun at the lost man who God shows himself mighty in. You know what they did? They began to sing a song of praise unto God when they got to the other side. When we watch God get his self glory on someone who has rejected him, it is not a time to rejoice. Because them, all those people that were drowned in that river that day went straight to a place called hell. And it wasn't a time for anybody that was a believer in Almighty God to rejoice, but it was a day for them to sing praise to their God. Because he was their shield and their great protector. He was the one who, listen, it's not the same kind of thing that the world, after, again, we were talking today about being good sportsmen. Wouldn't it be good if we learned a lesson? Again, as we go through this life and we have opposition, the enemy, we're supposed to do good to our enemies. When we do good to them and we help them and we're kind to them, it just heaps coals of fire on their head. Now, you ought not do it because you want to heap coals of fire on them. You ought to do it because the Bible tells you to do it and be obedient to God. But oftentimes in this life, people line up against us, but they're not really against us. They're against our Savior, Jesus Christ. They're against our God. And we don't have any power to overcome them. We are overcomers through the blood of Jesus Christ, who saved us, who died for us on Calvary. We got to trust him, follow him, and he will be the one that shows himself mighty. Look at verse number 12 with me in chapter 14. I hope you made it there. I tried to preach all in between it took you to get there. It's back in the beginning of the Bible in Exodus, but if you're not there, listen to me read it. In verse 12, it says, "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which will show you today. He said, for the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." Now, I want you to underline in verse 14, ye shall hold your peace. All right? Because there are several times in the scripture, as we go through these next kind of things, it's no accident that God could have chosen any blocks of places in Hebrews chapter 11 that he tells the people to go back and look towards. He tells us by faith. He tells the people, you will watch them die and you will hold your peace. Why? Because many of them would have rejoiced. They're not only commanded to go forward in faith and to see what God is going to do and that he will bring them through salvation, but their job is to hold their peace. And if you are going to speak, it better be praise to your God. Now, I think in all seriousness for all of us, when I'm going to jump ahead of myself so that I can hurry and I don't miss it because I'm fearful, I will not make it back there. In Jericho, they walk around the wall 7 times, and they are commanded to hold their peace until God tells them to shout on the final day after the blast of the priest, and by commandment of God, the walls fall flat down, and they run up them. And most of the time, we don't think about anything. We think about it like Florida, like everything's almost flat ground. Where I comes from, flat ground, I get anywhere that's got hills and I don't want to be there. You know what I'm saying? We were several people as we went up to the radio station, the stairs, you know. I followed Richard one day and, you know, he said, my old enemy, stairs. Anyway, so, you know, I mean, we all feel that way when we're going uphill, climbing mountains or anything.
But listen, this region, Bible region, is mostly everything is up and down, friend. Not a lot of flat surfaces. Everything's going up, and the walls falling down for us doesn't give us a picture that they didn't still have to move forward or up. It just meant instead of climbing a hill that was impassable, now they had a bank. Again, we just had a racing theme, all right? So it was a pretty smooth bank turn that they could climb and make their way into the city when it fell down. And the Bible says flat, but flat upon the ground doesn't mean the ground was flat. It just made it easier for them to take over the city. They didn't have to go through one tiny hole that they made in the wall or go through the gate where their numbers didn't matter. Imagine the numbers of people that were on the inside, and then when the walls fell down, how they were not prepared for the onslaught. All of God's people were prepared and ready to attack. And when they knew, listen, they had, think about by faith, they shouted that day, and the trumpets were blown, and they watched God knock the walls down. I think for all of us, we got to come to the place where we just are reminded to do what God tells us to do, because God does what God does when we follow His word, when we're obedient to His command. Do you know many of us are scared what people will say if we witness to them, but we ought to go witness them because God says that it's wise. He that winneth souls is. So again, when we go out, does it mean that everybody's going to accept? Absolutely not. But don't think yourself a wise man if you're not a witness constantly to others. And if I don't get to see people saved on a regular basis, well, what would you do if you were a bad carpenter? You would practice at it. What would you do if you worked on something, you know, you're a bad painter and someone said you should just quit painting because that's awful? You'd work at it. You'd get practice. You'd work. You'd want to be better. And sometimes the first time we go soul winning, we stumble all over ourselves, and somebody will get saved not because of us, but in spite of us, and they'll hear the gospel and accept it. But then it seems like, again, because we prayed and begged God, and the next time we go in our own power. The next time we go because, man, I got this. And we go out knocking doors when we have not prayed. We have not shed tears for the lost. And instead of bringing our sheaves with us because we've wept tears of, I mean, really tears for people who need to be saved, we'll go out in our own witness. And it's still good. The gospel will not return void, and people can still get saved. But there's very little power in our witness because we didn't beg God to do what we, listen, we start thinking we can do it when we could never do it. We don't save anybody. All we do is simply present the perfect word of God to somebody and share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they will make a decision. But I can tell you this, it changes everything when I go with a soft heart and I begin, instead of trying to take the Bible and go 1, 2, 3, follow after me. And I said, let me tell you what God did for me. There was never a time that I heard the Apostle Paul ever go 1, 2, 3. He said, there was a day I was walking down a road and a bright light struck me down. Changed everything in my life. I saw Jesus. Now, I don't have a story like that, but I can tell you there was a day that God struck me in my heart where I sat in the pew. And I knew that I needed Jesus to be saved, that I was lost and on my way to hell. And if I didn't get saved that night, I didn't know if I ever would get saved. Having grown up in the church, I'm going to tell you, I thought, what will everyone think? And I'm going to tell you, after I had the talk, you know, you talk to yourself too. Don't fool yourself. You talk to yourself like I do. And I sat there talking back and forth to myself. And finally, I said, no, I will not go to hell for anybody. I don't care what they think. I've got to get saved. I need Jesus more than I need anybody else in my life. And I walked that out that night, and I got Jesus. And you know what? I didn't lose one friend that was saved. Not one. Everybody that realized I got saved that night and truly saved. My youth pastor, who I thought, boy, he was going to be the worst one, he said, it's about time. Amen. My preacher, you know, I mean, just like Pastor Carter, so many of you, when you come down, he'd say, what would heaven have been without you? I'm so glad you got it settled. I'm so glad you got saved. I'm just telling you, there's nothing like it in all the world. And if you're holding out because you're worried about what the church will think, don't worry about what the church will think. this body of believers wants more than anything for you to know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. You ought to get it settled. You ought to know it for sure. You say, preacher, why you get into that? Because by faith, we ought to preach the gospel. We ought to preach the gospel to, again, everyone who will stop and listen to us. We get caught up thinking there's people that know that don't know. Way too often, we think everybody, again, because they dress right or they come to church or all that. Listen, I'm just going to tell you, there are people that come to church every week and need to get saved. There are people that know how to dress and need to get saved. We ought to be faithful, no matter whether they look like they just, you know, stepped out. I mean, every tattoo, that's what we think. Everybody with tattoos and earrings all over themselves, those are the people that really need to get saved. Don't always read a book by its cover. Now, I'm not saying some of those people don't need witness to, but I'm just telling you, we are commanded to be a faithful witness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you can't witness to the wrong person. I love what Brother Chitty said. My wife is a soul winner. If you don't watch her, she'll witness to a stump. Trying to get some practice, amen? I just think we ought to be that way. We ought to be willing and ready. He goes through this process and he tells them, listen, God is going to fight for you, but you'll hold your peace. Listen, when God is fighting for us, we don't have to say, we don't have to defend ourselves. God will defend us. Preacher's been in many battles, and I'm going to tell you right now, the person that won every battle is the Lord Jesus Christ. He, by faith, trusted in him, and God did the work, and God took care of the battle. It wasn't the Red Sea, but it seemed like that, didn't it, preacher? I'm just going to tell you, we've got to come to the place where, by faith, we go forward and faithfully tell the gospel to others, but when we're in the fight, instead of us coming up with our words that we think are wise, hold our peace and let our God fight. His fight says a lot more about who we are and what he is as a God, who he is to us. Listen, the Lord, if you were to read through this passage, he's going to say, the reason the Egyptians are drowned in that isn't just because God could have made a way to just let the water back down and let his people go. But what's to stop the Egyptians from keeping their hard heart and come on around the other side of that thing and get down there and finding them some other place and causing a battle? God said, I want everybody in Egypt to know that I'm God. That's what, if you read down the passage, he says, I'm doing this not just for you to protect you, but I'm doing it so that everybody that left there, think about it, every wife who didn't have a husband came home. Every child that didn't have a daddy that came home from that fight, God got himself glory, and everybody there knew that Pharaoh was not God because he drowned in the river because the God of Israel killed him. And those of them that worshiped Pharaoh, who did they worship now? They ought to worship the Lord God. Rahab, it jumps right out of this. It goes to Jericho. And as he goes, go back to Hebrews chapter 11 with me. I want you to see here in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible is going to explain to us here faithfully, talking about that they come off on dry land. A lot of walking, all right? They walked, and then they get to Jericho in verse 30. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. There was a lot of walking, 7 different days, a lap around, and then 7 laps. Trumpets and shouting went down, but quiet through all the other days. You don't think that the people on the wall didn't heckle the people of God as they walked around it? And again, unlike anything you ever saw, it was one of those things where God, instead of putting the priests and the Ark of the Covenant out front, he put the armed men out front and let God follow behind. God doesn't always do it the same way. God wants to get glory. He doesn't want us to think it's our methods that make it work. We've got to trust God and do it his way and do his work the way he wants it done. We've got to trust him with it. And when he says go and do it this way, we go that way. The walk that they had was a walk of faith. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, it's going to tell us to walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. I used it on Tuesday for a passage for Mrs. Flick. She walked the village round and round all the time, and she was losing her eyesight. And I used that passage of Scripture, but we ought to take it to heart and realize you're not always going to be the way. They came to the Red Sea. They saw no way. Their eyes did not see. God knew exactly where he brought them to, and he knew that if he took a strong enough wind and blew it hard in the right place, that water would stand up, and then they would walk over on dry land. You say, well, that, you know, God did it supernaturally. Absolutely, he did. I'm just going to tell you, but the Bible even told us naturally how God did it. God brought them in the perfect place. There was no other place like that place. All along that river, that seabed, if you want to say it like that. And then God did what he only could do. And then he comes to Jericho. They cross over this place and they come to Jericho. We leave Moses and now we're with Joshua. And they walk up and Joshua continues to follow God. If we were to turn there, I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Joshua chapter 6. I want you to see some things there in the scripture quickly tonight, if you would. Joshua chapter number 6. I didn't mark this one, so you see if you can beat me there. Oh, you're too late. Joshua 6, 17. Joshua 6, 17, if you would. He's talking about how they're going to blow and these trumpets and how the people are going to keep their peace throughout this, but then they're going to shout. He allows them to shout. I want you to understand that it's not the last time, or it's not the first time God's asked his people to be quiet when they follow him. Some of the best times of being quiet is being able to pray. Sometimes we talk and we can't even hear ourselves think. And the best place to be thinking is when we're praying. We work through the day and we can think about what we're doing, but oftentimes we let our mouth run on and we don't have time to pray because we just talk all the day through when we could close our traps and then praise to God and talk to him. Or maybe we could think and realize, I'm not thinking right thoughts, but at least you didn't share them with others. And then you can ask God to help you with your thought life. Way too many times, listen, this thing right here and that tongue that's inside of it that forms word, the Bible don't give us good things about it. Most of the time, bad things come out of it. And all of it comes out of the abundance of our heart and what we put in there. But wouldn't it be good if we just sealed our lips a little bit and we thought through some things before that came out of our mouth and said, nope, that's going to stay in there. Even a fool that keeps his mouth shut is counted as wise, the book of Proverbs says. So why don't you just keep it to yourself and not give it to everybody else? Listen, I'm just going to tell you, all of us need to work on that. But even more, when we see great victory, sometimes we ruin God's victory with our mouth. They go around this thing, and listen, God tells them that he wants to get the glory. And he says in verse 17, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that was sent. And ye in any wise keep yourselves from the accursed thing, lest ye make yourselves accursed when ye shall take of the accursed thing and make the camp of Israel accursed and trouble it. But all the silver and gold and vessels of brass and iron are consecrated unto the Lord. They shall come into the treasury of the Lord. So the people shouted with the priest when the priest blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I just want to submit to you, many times God makes it simple, so simple. But if you were there that day, I don't know if you can picture things in the Bible like I picture them. I'm just telling you that I can only imagine how that went. Again, nobody there thought that the trumpets knocked the walls down. Nobody there thought that the great cry of the entire nation of Israel, possibly 1 to 2 million strong, as people have accounted for it. Listen, it don't matter how many they had. Shouting wasn't going to bring the walls down. They shouted with everything they were because God commanded them to do so, and God knocked the wall down flat. Way too many times we think because we asked that God did it. Sometimes God did it because it was inside his will, and he wanted you to get in on his will and want what he wanted. Wouldn't it be great if God's people got to the place where we read the book and got in our heart to want what God wants and to get behind what God has to do? We had a great victory. You know, it's always good when the church gets in one accord, pulling in the right direction. We set records that we've never crossed over before. We do things that we have never done before. Now, listen, don't mean we don't run buses. It just means we can run more buses when we all get lined up and decide buses are what we ought to run. That little kids need to come to Jesus. We have bigger Sunday school. If we decided we were going to visit our Sunday school and we were going to pray for Sunday school kids and we were going to go after the Sunday school like never before, if we could get in one accord and decide that's what discipleship really began as in the local church, not just preaching, but taking little kids that got saved a week before and teaching them the book week by week. Listen, you can change all your methods. You can have a Thursday night and do it personally. But my whole life, I grew up in the local church and I was discipled through Sunday school. And the reason it don't work, as some people say today, I believe it still works. It's because we don't work it like we used to. We got to be in one accord, pulling in the right direction, with the right spirit, about the right things in God's will, and God will show up and do above what we can do. He will do. He will win. He will baptize. He will see all these things done. Listen, don't forget, you're not your own. You're bought with a price. Too many times, listen, we forget that this whole thing is something that Jesus purchased in salvation. And the blessing of this Christian life, I can tell you this, the more and more of me, he purchased all of me when I got saved. But the more and more of me that I gave him, the more and more of me he used for his honor and glory. And it didn't just benefit the work of God, it benefited me. I got blessings because I served God. Listen, this entire chapter is about people who surrendered to God's will and way. And by faith, God used them to do great things. He goes on, and we're going to pick it up here next week, but I want you to just, in Hebrews chapter 11, he's going to start going through all the mighty men of valor. He's going to talk about Gideon. Gideon, when God found him, was hiding. That sounds like a mighty man, don't it? Hiding behind the threshing floor. I mean, just over there threshing wheat so nobody could see him. But God makes a mighty man out of him. Some of you guys in the college, listen, you may not think God can do much with you, but if you'll surrender yourself solely and wholly to him, he'll make a mighty man of valor out of you. God will use you to do great things. Ladies, the same way. Listen, I think we've got to come to the place where we remember that God is the one that makes the man. We always think, men, we think we've got to make something of ourselves. And truly, we need to yield ourselves to God and let him make what he wishes out of us. We're just clay in the potter's hands. Wouldn't we be a much better vessel for the master's use if we would let him have his will and his way as he guides and moves the clay? Listen, tonight, by faith, what do? By faith, we accept Jesus Christ by faith. We preach much of tonight about what others have done. But again, I can tell you what I did. By faith, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, put my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection. It changed everything for me. I'm just going to tell you, you say, well, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, the Bible doesn't say you can hope maybe someday you'll get to heaven. It says, thou shalt be saved. Way too many people have listened to others who said you can hope for heaven. You can think, you know, if your good outweighs your bad, that is baloney. The Bible says that Jesus came to pay for your sin because you were not going to be good enough to get there. You could never outwork your bad. Any little bit of bad that smudges your record will take you straight to a devil's hell. But the sinless Son of God came from heaven and died on Calvary to buy you back, to purchase you to himself. And tonight, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can simply put your faith and trust. It's not works, lest any man should boast. We just simply put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You can do that tonight. We'll take the Bible and walk you through the Bible about what the Bible says on how you can have the gift of eternal life. But I'll say this, as Christians, many of you are saved. And the thing we need to get gifted is again, so many of you gave of your personal money. You promised and made pledges. And God wants that. But God wants all of us. He wants us to surrender ourselves to Him. And tonight, listen, I beg you to do this. Listen, a woman or a man of faith is somebody that'll bow their head in their heart and say, God, I believe I'm surrendered to you. Is there an area that I'm not surrendered? Or maybe the Holy Spirit's already showed you where it is that you need to give Him and let Him build you up. Maybe He convicted you about the work of God. Maybe your bus route. Again, we got excited about Restore-a-thon. Wouldn't it be great if this week we got excited about Sunday? And the same way we gave all ourselves to Restore-a-thon and just wanted to see God do a mighty work in that, how about if we give ourselves to Sunday school and we give ourselves to the bus routes? We give ourselves to go out soul winning with the men and with the women. If we go out just soul winning and seeing people saved, how about this? How about Sunday when we get in church, realizing that's a visitor, and they probably feel like nobody here knows them, and I'm going to go welcome them to church. I want them to feel welcome inside the building. We need to feel like you said, listen, I've said it over and over again, it ain't got to be anniversary Sunday. I deputize all of you to be greeters, to go welcome somebody in church and tell them you're so glad that they're here. It changes the spirit of the church when everybody wants to make everybody welcome and to encourage them to do whatever God lays on their heart to do. It's nothing like being able to walk over because you greeted them and say, hey, if you want to go forward, I'll go with you. You know what you have to have done before you ask them that? You have to have shook their hand and tell them that you're so glad that they're here. Hey, what a blessing it would be if you told them, hey, I'm so glad you're here today, and then you can see. Listen, I got to say this tonight. Somebody called me and asked me about Brother Chad. Brother Chad got saved here in the church. He was in Bible college, one of my best friends in the world. I love him. And again, his spiritual birthday's coming up in March, and they want to get, one of his church members want to get him the tape of the night that he got saved. And it just reminded me of that night. And I was sitting near Chad that night, and I watched him battle that thing. Knew he needed to be saved, knew that he needed to do that, and he just gripped the pew. He was in agony, sweating like I'd never seen him, worrying because he knew he was on his way to hell, and he knew he wanted to get saved, but he didn't know how to do it. Not the steps of how to accept Christ, but how am I going to do it in front of all these people that think I'm saved? And I watched him finally. I got ready to say something to him because I could tell I didn't know he needed to be saved. I thought maybe he just had something in his life he needed to pray about. And I walked over towards him, and he just lunged out in the aisle, and he grabbed Brother Herring and carried him to the front and said, you got to show me how to be saved. I got to get saved tonight. Folks, you don't have to get saved like that tonight. But listen, it ought to not come to the place where we're just struggling with God. We ought to get so close, listen, so yielded to the Spirit of God. When God speaks, we move. When God asks, we step out. Not worried about what all the other men and women around us think, but what does God want in my life? And if we get like that, listen, you know we can get like that with Restore-a-thon. We get caught up in the giving of ourselves. Wouldn't it be great in church if we got caught up in giving ourselves to the cause of Christ? Not just in our giving in our wallet, but in our everyday lives, given to give tracts out, given to be ready to share the gospel, given to, I don't have my New Testament, but I've hidden the scripture in my heart and I can share the gospel with others. We need to come to the place where we are ready and armed to share with everyone else that God is so good to save those. Listen, stand still and see the salvation of God. Now, listen, God wanted them to go forward, but wouldn't it be good if we just kind of took that and went around and say, if you could just stand still a minute, sir, I'd show you the salvation of God from the scripture. And to them, I remember how it was for me the first time I really understood. It was like the Red Sea parting. I could see no way to heaven. I could see no way how God would want to save a sinner like me. But through the scripture, I see that God loved me. And he sent his son to die for me. And the Red Sea parted. And all of a sudden, where there was no way, God had made a way for me to have eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Tonight, if you're here and you need to be saved, please get saved. Please accept Christ. Meet me right here in the front. Let us take a Bible and show you how to be saved. But if you're one of God's people, let's yield ourselves to him again. We've come to the place where God touched our heart to give of ourselves in our finances. Let's keep giving. Let's give ourselves to him bodily. Let's give him our time. Let's give him our heart. Let's give him whatever we're holding back from him tonight. Would you stand to your feet? The musicians are going to come, but if God spoke to your heart, don't wait for them. You step out and come and do business with God, but if you're here and you need to be saved, I'm going to step to the front, and I'll take the Bible and show you how to be saved if you'll come down. The invitation is to you. We're inviting you to come down, and let me take the Bible and show you how to be saved tonight. I'm going to pray for you tonight. Dear God, I come to you the best way I know how, God, and ask you tonight to do what you can only do. Lord, I pray you draw the sinner that's closest to hell to be saved. Do not let them stay where they're seated, but I pray they would step out and be saved. God, I pray for our church. Help us to hold nothing back from you but to give ourselves wholly. Lord, you're so close to coming back. Help us, God, to surrender ourselves in this final stretch as we, just before we head home, God, let us put it all out for you, God, as we wait for you to come back. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Bert, would you say? Have thine hope.